The Bible said in Psalm 4 and verse number 4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Read it with me, would you please? Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. I remember when the Lord put this verse in my heart. It's been over a month ago now. I don't know how long it's been. Brother Richard might be able to tell you. But we preached a lot of messages on this stand in awe and sin not. One of the major thoughts that the Lord put in my heart, when we're standing in awe of Him, we're not sinning. And when we're sinning, we're not standing in awe of Him. You can't do them both at the same time. And so this morning, if you'll take your Bible and turn over to the book of Philippians with me, I read the verse a while ago. I'll read one verse again. And the peace of God, verse number 7, in chapter number 4, Philippians, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now here's what I want to stand in awe of this morning. The peace of God. Look at me, everybody. There's people in the grocery stores, Costco's, Sam's Clubs, fighting one another over toilet paper. Are you listening to me? While we've got men in Iraq right now that are being shelled and rockets going off all the way around them, men getting hurt, men dying. I'm telling you, if you're here this morning and you are a child of God and you have God's peace in your heart, you ought to stand in awe of that in this world that we live in. You have something that money can't buy. You have something that Wall Street knows nothing about. You have the peace of God. I want to look at the message this morning. I began to look at the text and the Lord began to stir in my heart and stand in awe of the peace of God. The Bible teaches that we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can have peace with God. It must be through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. A sinner has to come to the Savior, realizing his need. And it's not something that happens on man's terms. It's something that happens on God's terms. And beloved, it's something that happens because of the grace of God. Many times in our generation, and it's been going on for years, the emphasis has been put on a decision. But beloved, until the Holy Ghost of God deals with a sinner's heart, there's no decision to be made. But when the Spirit of God stirs in our heart and convicts us of our sin, convicts us of His righteousness and the judgment to come, then we have an opportunity, beloved, to trust Christ as our Savior. Mackenzie, that Wednesday night, she wasn't looking for the Lord, but the Lord was looking for her. Amen. She came that Wednesday night, and God did a work in her heart and in her life. That Sunday night in February in 1987, I wasn't looking for Him, but I want to stand here and thank God today. He was looking for me. Not only that night, but all my life, beloved. He had been stirring here and stirring there and pointing me to the grace of God. I have five little words on my heart this morning that I want to share with you. The first word that I pick up on in the text is the word Father. You say, preacher, I don't even see the word Father. Look at verse 1. The Word of God said, therefore, my brethren. Can I tell you this morning why that you are my brethren? It's because we have the same Father. It's because, beloved, there came a time in our lives when we were born again. I want to say this morning. There's a mix-up in the world today. Some people think that they believe in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Let me just say this to you. You are God's creation by your first birth, but you can only be God's children through a second birth. You must be born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. And beloved, we should never take for granted that the reason that you and I are brethren, it's because we have the same Father. Jesus told the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father will you do. I'm telling you, beloved, I'm glad there was a day in my life when I got tired of old daddy and one that lied to me, the one that was dragging me down to hell. And thank God my new father spoke to my heart and I trusted him as my Savior. And beloved, he became my heavenly father. Take your Bible and turn with me, beloved, to the book of Matthew. I want to show you something here this morning. The peace of God. You say, preacher, how can you have peace in a time like this? I'm glad you asked me. When the world is panicking, God's people shouldn't be panicking. They should have peace. Beloved, I got to studying something last night. Now, listen, I'm not trying to be funny right here, but did you know that toilet paper wasn't invented until 1857? What'd they do before then? They didn't run to Walmart and Costco, say amen. All I'm trying to tell you is, beloved, we're living in a society that's gone crazy. Amen. But God's people have no business going crazy or panicking, because there ought to be something called the peace of God that lives in our hearts. I spoke to a lady not too long ago. They're doing some tests. They think some things are going on in her lungs. She told the doctor, she said, now doctor, you can do the test, but if you find something, we're not going to do anything about it. She said, I'm old, I'm tired, I've lived a good life, and I'm ready to go. I say hallelujah for the peace of God, beloved. Hallelujah for the peace of God. The Word of God said in chapter 6 of Matthew and verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What shall ye eat, or what ye shall drink, or for your body, what ye shall put on? Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? I'd like to say to this society, isn't life more than toilet paper and more than the dry goods that's on the shelf? Say amen. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen to me right now. I believe we have a Father. The Word of God said here, behold the fowls of the air. Brother Ralph, I tell you, thank God for you, brother. I'm just telling you, I stood back there at the shelter this morning and watched the robins bouncing around in the grass, knowing what God had put in my heart, picking them little worms up that God put there for them. Say amen. And the Word of God's teaching us, if I'm going to clothe the grass of the field and I'm going to feed the sparrow, how much more am I going to take care of you? Amen. There ought to be a peace in our hearts, beloved. Those of us that have God as a heavenly Father through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there ought to be a peace. He said, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory. And beloved, listen, when the Queen of Sheba came down there to see Solomon, she know what she said? She said, the half was not told me. Solomon in all of his glory. God said, you can take one little lily out there in the field. I'm telling you, beloved, God is fixing to bloom. The Bradford pears out in front of the church are blooming, and they're beautiful. And beloved, God is telling you and I that we ought to have peace in our hearts and not panic. Beloved, he's taking care of the sparrow, and he's taking care of the lily, and he'll take care of you, and he'll take care of me. I believe that. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? I want to say something to you this morning, beloved. This gets me to the second part. Not only the Father, but the family. The Bible said, brethren. You know what that makes? That makes us in the same family. Say amen. Listen to me. As long as I've got a can of soup, you've got a can of soup. Did you hear what I said? As long as I've got a piece of meat in the freezer, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't like deer meat, get around Miss Eve and let her cook it. You'll like it. You'll love it. You can jump a 5-strand barbed wire fence after you eat it. Amen. It's good for you. Amen. But as long as I've got anything to eat, we're in the family. We're in this together. I'm not going to panic. Say amen. I'm going to tell you, beloved, I'm looking for God to take care of me as long as I'm in this world. And when I leave this world, he'll take care of me. Amen. I believe the family. I got a blessing this morning. Bob called his wife. Bob works at Walmart, in contact with all kinds of people. All kinds of people. Charity's in the healthcare. He said, Charity, I'd like for you to stay home today. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you this. About me keeping my distance from you, it's not about me being afraid of catching something. It's about me being afraid of carrying something that I might give to you. Now, that's God's truth. Charity's not here today. And that's what it's about. She comes in contact with so many people through the week as she's in the healthcare field. She's so afraid, and Bob was afraid, that she might be carrying something, not know it, and give it to some of our precious people. So Charity said she told the kids this morning, said, we're not going to Sunday school. Said they were disappointed. Sister Carol, you're going to like this, honey. You and Miss Heather. Said they were just highly disappointed. Said, Mommy, you mean we're not going to Sunday school? No. No, we're not going, honey. Oh, Mommy. Charity said she could see right quick, I got to do something. Said, I tell you what, we'll have Sunday school in the living room. You say, Sunday school in the living room? Listen to this. You want to hear about miracles? She said that Sawyer and Olivia, without even being asked, cleaned up the living room, got ready for Sunday school. And they said, Mommy, how are we going to do the pledges? We don't have a flag. And so they had to sit down. She drew them a flag and let them color the Christian flag. Let them color. Amen. I say amen. There's a peace in the heart of God's youngins. Amen. They're having Sunday school. Amen. But I like it because there's the youngins that love Sunday school so much they don't want to miss it. Love their class. Love their teachers. Say amen. I'm telling you, the family. And beloved, listen. We ought to thank God we have a good family, a good church family, a good family in this world, a good family in the Lord, that we're brethren. Amen. The Lord said, take no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, there's one thing that ought to cause us to have peace. That's our Father. There's another thing that ought to cause us to have peace. That's our family. Amen. Brother Charles, You're quite a ways away down there in Cleveland, Tennessee. I can either mail it or bring it to you, brother. But if I've got something you need, you pick up that phone and you call me, and it's on the way. I believe that. Listen, I had a man say in Sunday school one time, he held up his hand. He said, if you've got that many real friends in the world, he said, you're blessed. I told my wife when he said that, I said, either I've got a lot more friends than that or I'm the biggest fool that ever walked in shoe leather. I'm telling you, God put me in a wonderful family. Amen. And the brethren love one another. And the brethren are not going to let the brethren do without. By the way, I'll go a step further than that. If I've got a neighbor that's a sinner, I ain't going to let him do without either. How in the world are we going to win them if we don't help them? Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, it's a blessing to be saved. The peace of God. I stand in awe of the peace of God. I tell you, a lot of people's tore up over the stock market. Say amen. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, you know what you're going to take out of here? Nothing. Not one thing. Somebody said wisely, never did see a U-Haul behind a hearse. We ain't going to take nothing. We come in naked, honey. We're going out naked as a jaybird. The only thing we can hope to take with us is somebody else. Take them to the kingdom of God and to heaven with us. Amen. I see the Father. That blesses me. Gives me a great deal of peace. I see the family. That blesses me and gives me a great deal of peace. Look in verse number 3. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my... Here's the next thing that gives me a great deal of peace. My fellow laborers. Beloved, listen to me. I wish I could stand here this morning and tell you that everybody that's in the family is a fellow laborer. But that's not true. I had a man come, brother. I was pastoring at Liberty Baptist, Brother Charles. I followed you in there. A man come. He's up in the pulpit preaching. I'll never forget this as long as I live. He said, folks, I pastor a church that's 100% willing. I thought, oh, my goodness, I wish I pastored a church like that. That's what I wish. I wish I did. And about that time, he stopped for just a second. He said, 10% of them's willing to work, and 90% of them's willing to let them. I thought, oh, my goodness, amen. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. It takes laborers to make the work of God go. Amen. And I'm telling you, Brother Steve has said this to me 100 times since he and his precious wife have been here. He said, Pastor, if somebody wants to do something for God, there's an opportunity at Bible Way Baptist Church to do something for the Lord. You say, Preacher, that gives you peace? Oh, yes, it does. You know what I've got? I've got men, Brother Larry. If I'm not able to stand here, I can call them, and they'll stand here and open this same book and preach the gospel to the precious people of God. It's a blessing. We had a man last week, Brother Charles. Somebody help me with his name. Brother, oh my goodness, it slipped my name. To Brazil, Brother, with Rock of Ages. Brother John Alves. Brother John was here last Sunday night, brother. What a blessing was it. How many can say amen to that? What a blessing Brother John was. You know what blessed me more than anything? More than anything out of the whole testimony and the whole service is when he said, Brother Jimmy Rose led him to the Lord. Brother Grizzle, churches like this put Brother Jimmy Rose down in Brazil. For how many years, Brother Long? Over 40 years, wasn't it, Brother? That man and his wife were faithful. It was churches just like this that said, hey, we need to send missionaries to the world. That's what the fellow laborers are about. And Brother Jimmy's the one that knelt on the altar that night and introduced him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for fellow laborers. Let me say something to you. Don't ever take them for granted. Don't ever take the fellow laborers for granted. We're in this together. Say amen. And beloved, we need to work. I like the old song, we'll work. It was a favorite of Brother Garris. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. Somebody said, well, I've got faith. I don't have to show you. James said, you show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. I don't believe in a work salvation. I do not believe in a work salvation, but I believe in a salvation that works. I'm telling you, beloved, when God saved me, it made me want to do something for the kingdom of God. Amen. I have a father. What about that? Peace. A family. Peace. I have fellow laborers. Peace. But look at this. In verse number 4, the Bible said, let me do the last part of verse number 3. With other my fellow laborers, look at this now, whose names are in the book of life. Right here's the main thing, beloved. Listen, you can't have peace if you don't know that your name is in the book of life. Let me show you something. Turn over to the book of Revelation with me, please. Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20. Here's what John saw. In verse number 11, John said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Let me stop and say something, beloved. Every one of us is going to stand before God. There's no way to escape it. Beloved, you can have an appointment with the doctor, and you can cancel it. You can postpone it. But this is an appointment that not one of us will be able to escape. We're all going to stand before God. I'm talking about peace. Watch this now. The Bible said, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. One of the major ways you can separate the two judgments, the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. The judgment seat of Christ is only dealing with believers. And the believers are rewarded according to their works. In the great white throne judgment, they are unbelievers and they are judged according to their works. By the way, let me stop and say this. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, how much you've given to the church, or how much you've given to charity. If you're judged according to your works, you'll die without God and you'll go to hell. Beloved, our sin payment must be paid on the cross of Calvary. There's no other way. People are mixed up. Here are people that are at the great white throne judgment. The Bible said here They're judged according to their work. Watch this, verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The average person in America has never even heard of the second death. I like to use that when I'm witnessing to people. Have you ever heard of the second death? No. Can I tell you what it's about? Sure. The Bible said here, it's the second death. Watch this. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Looks to me like, Brother Steve, it's important that a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl has their name that day found in the book of life. Amen? That's what's going to make the difference. You say, preacher, how does a person get their name sealed in the book of life? There's only one way, through the blood of Jesus. We must trust Jesus. We must be born again. The religion of Nicodemus was not enough. God was not impressed with his religion. He had to be saved by the grace of God. Now, I believe with all of my heart, beloved, we ought to have peace because of our faith. You remember when the disciples went out and they came back and reported to Jesus and they were so happy. They said, the spirits are made subject unto us. They were so thrilled at the ministry and the work that was going on. Jesus looked at them and said, howbeit in this, rejoice not, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. The very next verse says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. I tell you, God's people with peace in their heart should not be panicking. They should be rejoicing because of the peace of God that they have in their heart because of their relationship by faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, is your name in the book of life? If you had to stand before God today, do you know for sure that when he went through that book, there's your name? I tell you, I thank God today. I have peace in my heart. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what the shelves hold tomorrow or what they don't hold tomorrow. But I know this. I know he holds me in his hand. And I know, beloved, listen, he's got the whole world in his hand. And he's not, beloved, asleep. He knows what we're doing and what we're going through. Watch this now and I'm done. There's one more thing that I want to give you. I have a great peace because of my Father. I have a great peace because of my family, the family of God. I have a great peace because of my fellow laborers. I have a great peace because of my faith. But this last one right here is something I think the Lord should stir our hearts around. I have a great peace because of my future. Look what the Word of God said in verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. That word moderation, when you look it up there, it's talking about gentleness. Now that's not that guy busting a wine bottle over somebody else's head because he wanted something that he had in his buggy. Say amen. Gentleness. Let your moderation, let your gentleness. I wonder if it was the last jar of peanut butter. There was somebody standing behind us, needed that jar of peanut butter. You know where we're at in this world? There'd be somebody, Brother Preston, they got their hands on that jar of peanut butter and they done got 12 jars in the cabinet. But that's the one I really need. They wouldn't give it to the person behind them that doesn't have any peanut butter. Am I right or am I? That's where we're living, in a selfish generation. But watch this, beloved. That should not be God's people. We should be a full of the peace of God, knowing our future. Look at verse number 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Be gentle. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. You know what that means, beloved? That means before the sun goes down out there today, we could be home. You tell me, beloved, you tell me what's worth getting all bent out of shape over if we're looking for him every day of our life. Every day of our life. You know, just a little while back, my truck's got 312,000 miles on it. I hoped that it wasn't the case, but I found out that it was the water pump. On that particular vehicle, it's a major job. God brought Brother Ike to our church. Brother Ike knew somebody that was a mechanic that had been a mechanic for GM for 15 years. And God put it together just like that. And it's fixed. It's done. It's over with. Amen. And I didn't have to pay the dealership. The dealership. Say amen. I hope there ain't no dealers in here. Amen. That did remind me, we need to pray for Brother Fane. He called me yesterday, and he had been down to the hospital, and he's sick, but he does not have that virus. They tested him for it. Remember Brother Fane Bell as well. You say, preacher, what do you mean our future? I said, the Lord is at hand. Go back with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 24, and I'm done. I'm done. Matthew chapter 24. Let me show you something here. Matthew chapter 24. Look what the Word of God said. I believe it's Matthew chapter 24. Boy, I hope it is. I believe it is, yes. And Jesus in verse number 4 answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. You're looking at a pastor that believes that Matthew chapter 24 is describing the great tribulation. What's going to be going on coming up to and in the great tribulation. Now watch this. The Word of God said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. How many believes there's an Antichrist on the way? He may already be breathing, but he's on the way according to the Word of God. Watch this now. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See, watch this now, that you be not troubled. What's troubling the world had nor to be troubling the people of God. We ought to have peace in our heart. Watch what the Word of God said. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say there are some things that causes the world to wring their hands and run over one another and panic that ought to be causing us to shout. Our Lord is coming! Things are shaping up for the coming of the Lord. He said, don't let it trouble you. All these things must come to pass. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilence, earthquakes, in different or diverse places, and these are the beginning of sorrow. You know what I believe? I believe this world is in for a sorrow like it has never seen before. The Word of God said they're going to run to the rocks. They're going to run to the mountains. They're going to cry, fall on us and hide us from the face of Almighty God. You say, preacher, surely you don't believe that stuff. I'm telling you, surely I do. You say, preacher, where are you going to be when all that's going on? Gone. I'm going to be home with Jesus. The church is not going through the great tribulation. We may go through some great persecution before the great tribulation comes. You say, preacher, why would you say that? Because, beloved, we're no better than the early church. I don't know what we'll go through, but I know this. I'll go through it with peace in my heart. I'll go through it not alone, but with the people that God has given us, the brethren, the church, the people of God. The Bible said, be careful for nothing. I wondered one time, Brother Long, what's the difference between worry and concern? Everybody look at me, listen to me just a minute, and I'll quit. But Brother Preston, if you're not concerned about them babies, you ain't fit to be a father. Say amen. But God don't want you worrying about them. What's the difference? What's the difference? What's the difference? I believe the Lord showed me what the difference is. Worry does this and frets. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We've only got 29 rolls of toilet paper left. What are we going to do? The
You think I'm being silly, but I'm telling you, beloved, it's worse than that in a lot of circles. What does concern do? Concern prays for those babies. Concern says, Lord, my mama taught me about Jesus. Lord, I want to do a good job teaching my babies about Jesus. And Lord, I know the world is changing, but I know you're the same yesterday and today and forever. I know, God, that you're feeding the sparrows and that you're feeding us. And God, I know you'll feed my babies. I know you'll take care of them. Can anybody see the difference? Concern just frets and worries. A pastor that's not concerned about his people or to be shot. But a pastor's not to worry. Say amen. Not supposed to be anxious. And the Bible said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. How'd you like to preach this message to the professors down at the college? They'd look at you like a calf looking at a new gate. They'd say, you're not being fair to your people. You ought to cause your people to panic. You ought to cause your people to run. I say, if you've run to Jesus, you don't have to run from this world. Amen. I don't believe we need to panic. I believe we need to have peace. Peace that passes all understanding. The wisdom of this world doesn't understand the peace of God. You say, preacher, how do you explain the peace of God? Everybody ready? I can't. I just know if you got it, you know it. And I know if you ain't got it, you know it. I'll never forget, Brother Steve, 6.5 years I was a church member before I came to know Christ as my Savior. My dear brother, his name is John. I said, John, how can a man know? How can a man know that his sins are forgiven? How can a man know that he's right with God? Now, I'll never forget, as long as I live, my brother laid his hand upon my shoulder. He said, now this is deep. He said, all I can tell you is, brother, you'll know. You know what I found out the night God saved me? I knew. My sin was gone. It's not only what God took off of me, the sin and the guilt and the shame. But boy, he has a big bucket. I've been using buckets a lot this week to carry different things in. He has a big bucket. He tipped that bucket up, and here come love running out of that bucket. I had to go home, Brother Charles. My wife wasn't there the night. She was home with 2 sick kids the night I got saved. I had to go home and tell my wife that I was sorry. You can only imagine, you look back on it, and it seems so silly. I mean, I can imagine what she thought. Brother Adam, I thought you went to church. I did go to church. I said, I'm sorry. She said, for what? I said, honey, I thought I loved you. But I said, until just a few minutes ago, I didn't know anything about love. All I loved was myself. God dumped this big bucket of love, big bucket of joy, big bucket of peace. Hallelujah. I was no longer afraid to die. No longer afraid to go to sleep. Big bucket of gentleness. He started helping me with my temper and my anger. Big bucket of long suffering. Helping me to realize that used to be me. Be patient with them. Give them some time. Amen. I'm telling you, God's got a big bucket. Has he ever turned that bucket up and dumped it in your soul? If he has, you know it. Amen. Has he ever taken that load of guilt off of you? If he has, you'll know it. Here's a gospel tract laying up here on the pulpit. It says, someday you'll stand before God. Beloved, I'll tell you this. Every one of us someday will stand before God. Can you imagine, listen to me carefully, the panic on that day for those who never trusted Christ as their Savior? It's going to be out of this world, out of control, out of hand. But for us that know Jesus, there's going to be peace that passes all understanding. Let's bow our heads for prayer.